that. Good morning. Oh, good morning. Good morning. It is wonderful to welcome you here this morning. You're getting a taste. I feel a little scattered today. I've just had so much fun seeing so many people and welcoming you here. I do just want to share a few things, a few quick announcements with you. As many of you know, this is the last week of last Sunday of our month of missions, and this week we are highlighting and supporting another local amazing mission called Created Gainesville. And I just want to remind you of that, let you know that any giving in the mission boxes will go there. And also, if you brought any of the physical items that are, again, listed in your bulletin, that blue box is out by the Welcome Center. And so I encourage you to drop those off if you haven't already. And if you'd like more information about Created Gainesville, there's much more in your bulletin. I also want to call your attention to or remind you that there will be a meeting following the 11 o'clock service where we'll take some time to discuss new service times and styles that will begin in the fall. So if that's something you're interested in being a part of, learning more and being a part of a Q&A, I hope that you'll find something to do. We've got lots of wonderful Sunday school classes, and then just come back and join us after the 11 o'clock service. Well, it is my joy to say to you, welcome home, and invite you to stand and greet those around you, introduce yourself, get to know somebody new.
Join us in singing our first song, Forever. Dear God, thank you that you are a loving and gracious God. Thank you that you've offered us forgiveness and the gift of new life in you. Thank you that your love is perfect, it never fails, and that nothing can separate us from your love. We pray that our lives would be filled and overflowing with the power of your love so that we can make a difference in this world and bring honor to you. We ask for your help in reminding us that the most important things are not what we do outwardly, not based on any talent or gift, but the most significant thing we can do in this life is simply to love you and to choose to love others. Help us to love as you love. In Jesus' name, amen.
Celebrate the sacrament of baptism this morning with the Pinkerton family. So we invite Matt and Crystal up with big brother Andrew and sister Emma and their family and friends for the baptism of William.
see you all here, and great to be able to celebrate this moment with you and with your family. So glad that others could be here with you today as well. But as we prepare to baptize Liam this morning, Crystal and Matt, this is obviously a big day for you as well as parents, and as you continue to make that commitment to nurture your children in the church and in the faith, and model for them the life of a Christian witness. So I'm going to begin by asking you all the traditional questions of faith, and there are three questions that you'll respond to by saying, I do. And the first one is, do you renounce the spiritual forces of wickedness, reject the evil powers of this world, and repent of your sin? And do you accept the freedom and power God gives you to resist evil, injustice, and oppression in whatever forms they present themselves? And do you confess Jesus Christ as your Savior, put your full trust in His grace, and promise to serve Him as your Lord in union with the church which Christ has opened to people of all ages, nations, and races? And then one question that specifically is about parenting, and you'll respond, I will. Will you nurture William and your others, continuing to do so, in Christ's holy church, that by your teaching and example, they may be guided to accept God's grace for themselves and to profess their faith openly and fully at Christ? And one question for you, family, since you're here today, it is great to have you here, and so I'll ask you this question. Do you pledge your support and promise to continue to encourage Matt and Crystal and their children as they seek to nurture them in the faith and in their Christian life, as you say you will?
Oh God, when nothing existed but chaos, you swept across the dark waters and brought forth light. In the days of Noah, you saved those on the ark through water. After the flood, you set in the clouds a rainbow. When you saw your people as slaves in Egypt, you led them to freedom through the sea. Their children you brought through the Jordan to the land which you promised. In the fullness of time, you sent Jesus, nurtured in the water of a womb, baptized by John and anointed by your Spirit. He called his disciples to share in the baptism of his death and resurrection and to make disciples of all nations. But God, pour out your Holy Spirit to bless this gift of water in him who receives it, to wash away his sin, clothe him in righteousness throughout his life, that dying and being raised with Christ, he may share in his final victory. Amen. Ready? I know. What name is given this child?
Liam David Singleton.
Davis, I baptize you in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. I invite all the family to come, and if you want to lay a hand on your brother, well, we're going to bless him. How about that? You want to come? Yeah. And David, the Holy Spirit work within you, that being born through water and the Spirit, you may be a faithful disciple of Jesus Christ. I know Catherine really wants to hold him, so I'm going to pass.
As she prepares to walk out with William for you to have a chance to greet him, let me invite you to join in a response of welcome. We welcome you into our family of faith. With God's help, we will support you with active love, Christian education and nurturing, and opportunities to express your faith in mission. May God bless you always.
Jesus loves you, we do too. We'll prepare a place for you, where you'll grow in faith so strong, and you'll serve Him all life long. Yes, Jesus loves you. Yes, Jesus loves you. Yes, Jesus loves you. The Bible tells me so.
Good morning, everyone. One of the privileges of gathering together in a community of faith is the chance to come together in a time of prayer. So at this time, I do invite you to take a look at the screens up here. These are the names of people who are either sick or are in the hospital, and they are in special need of us to lift them up in prayer at this time. So I invite you to bow your heads and close your eyes and just take a few minutes of silent prayer to lift up your own prayers and concerns to God. Gracious God, we come before you this morning with so many different things on our hearts. In this moment, we take the time to recognize your loving presence here with us today, especially in the form of baptism. For what more joyous occasion is there than to welcome such a precious life into your loving kingdom? And with this celebration of faith, we also praise you for all of the blessings in our lives, because we know that every good thing comes directly from you. Which is why we can turn to you in times of doubt and anxiety. We thank you for being a God with ears to hear our breaking hearts. So God, we come before you, lifting up the sick and the hurting in our community. We lift up those who have lost and those who feel lost. We pray, Father, that your peace surrounds them and brings them the comfort that can only be found in you and in your love. And we ask God for the courage and for the faith to believe and to fight for the love, for this love, today and every day. And so God, we come before you asking for this and praying the words that your Son taught us to pray together, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us of our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
Bless the Lord, oh my soul, oh my soul, worship His holy name. Sing like never before, oh my soul, I'll worship Your holy name. A new day dawning. It's praise unending. 10,000 years and then forevermore. Bless the Lord, oh my soul, oh my soul. Worship His holy name.
God is through our tithes and our offerings. In a moment, the ushers will come through and give us an opportunity to do that. It's also a time you can give us those connection cards that are in your bulletins. If you have some information to share or some questions for us, we hope that you'll do that so that we can be in touch with you. Would you pray with me? We've got all that we have is yours because your generosity seems to know no bounds. Help us to give it all to you in how we live and how we love and how we serve. And right now in these moments, God, as we give back, as we worship you, by giving, we pray that these gifts would be used through the ministries of this church for your will and your glory. Amen.
summer we've been looking at the Old Testament books of 1st and 2nd Kings, and we called that Once Upon a Time in Israel, Kings, Dreams, and Schemes, because there's that summer blockbuster, it's that Once Upon a Time in Hollywood, and Once Upon a Time in Hollywood doesn't have anything on the schemes and the kings of Israel and 1st and 2nd Kings. The books of 1st and 2nd Kings are all about the politics of Israel, the kings who were faithful, and the kings who were anything but, the kings who completely abandoned the law of God. And 1st and 2nd Kings also tells us about the prophets of Elijah and Elisha, who were called to speak the truth to power, always intent on turning the hearts of the kings and the people back to God. So for the last couple of weeks, we've been hearing the stories of Elijah, with a J, and his encounters with King Ahab, the evil King Ahab. And without any forewarning, Elijah just dropped into the story in the 17th chapter of Kings, and he is sent to a widow who God says will save him. And the widow does save him, and in the end, God actually saves Elijah and the widow and her son. But then just as suddenly as he comes on the scene in the 17th chapter, Elijah will depart from the scene in our reading for today. You'll learn at the outset of this reading that Elijah is going to ascend to heaven in a whirlwind, which is the typical kind of way for God to show his activity. And so the reading begins today with us knowing that Elijah is going to be lifted up to heaven to be with God, and the reading for today tells us about Elisha, the one who is left behind, and how he will continue on and what his calling will be. That's Elisha with an S-H. So first let me tell you a little bit about Elisha, because he is new on the scene for us today. And it's actually only the second time that he shows up in the scripture reading is today. You may remember that a couple of weeks ago, Ben preached about the showdown at Mount Carmel with Elijah and Ahab and the gods of the pagan god Baal. And it was after that showdown that Elijah runs away to hide. He's had this massive showdown, and he won, but he runs away to hide because he knows that Queen Jezebel is out for his life. So he runs to Mount Horeb and he hides, and it is there where God tells him that he is about to anoint Elisha as a prophet who will follow him. And so he leaves Mount Horeb and he goes to find Elisha. He first encounters Elisha when he is out in his field, plowing the fields with his 12 oxen. And he sees him, and he, as he's walking by, seemingly just kind of throws his mantle over the shoulders of Elisha. Now, a mantle is kind of like a loose, sleeveless tunic, and he throws it over Elisha. But we also know that a mantle is a calling or a role that we are called to take up. So wrapped in this mantle, Elisha runs after Elijah, and he says, "Hang on, let me go back and tell my parents goodbye, and then I'll catch up with you. You just keep going, and I'll catch up with you." And so he goes back, and he kills the oxen, and he has this big barbecue with his family, and then he goes back and goes along with Elijah. And then we really don't hear about Elisha after that. For the next several chapters, we hear what Elijah is doing, and we just assume that since Elisha is called to be with him, that he's there with him every step of the way, serving him and speaking a word of truth with him as Elijah continues to challenge King Ahab with the truth of who he is and how he's acting. And then it's at that point that we come the Lord was about to take Elijah up to heaven by a whirlwind, Elijah and Elisha were on their way from Gilgal. Elijah said to Elisha, "Stay here, for the Lord has sent me as far as Bethel." But Elisha said, "As the Lord lives, and as you yourself live, I will not leave you." So they went down to Bethel. The company of the prophets who were in Bethel came out to Elisha and said to him, "Do you know that the Lord will take your master away from you?" And he said, "Yes, I know. Keep silent." Elijah said to him, "Well, I should stay here, for the Lord has now sent me to Jericho." But he said, "As the Lord lives and as you yourself live, I will not leave you." So they came to Jericho. The company of the prophets who were at Jericho drew near to Elisha and said to him, "Do you know that today the Lord will take your master away from you?" And he answered, "Yes, I know. Be silent." Then Elijah said to him, "Stay here, for the Lord has sent me to Jordan." But he said, "As the Lord lives and as you yourself live, I will not leave you." So the two of them went on. 50 men of the company of prophets also went and stood some distance from them, as they were both standing by the Jordan. Then Elijah took his mantle and rolled it up and struck the water. And the water was parted to the one side and to the other until the two of them passed across on the dry ground. When they had crossed, Elijah said to Elisha, "Tell me what I may do for you before I am taken from you." Elisha said, "Please, let me inherit a double portion of your spirit." Then he responded, "You have asked a hard thing. Yet, if you see me as I am taken from you, it will be granted you. If not, it will not." As they continued walking and talking, a chariot of fire and horses of fire separated the two of them. Elijah ascended in a whirlwind into heaven. Elisha kept watching and crying out, "Father, Father, the chariots of Israel and its horsemen." But when he could no longer see them, he grasped his own clothes and tore them into two pieces. He picked up the mantle of Elijah that had fallen from him, and he went back and stood on the bank of the Jordan. He took the mantle of Elijah that had fallen from him and struck the water, saying, "Where is the Lord, the God of Elijah? When he struck the water was parted to the one side and to the other. And Elisha, the Lord God for the people. So as I play that story over again in my mind, one of the things that strikes me about that conversation between Elijah and Elisha is, what would it have been like as they were walking along that day? They're in Gilgal when Elijah says that he's got an errand to run in Bethel. And he tells Elisha not to bother coming with him. But Elisha insists on going with him. "You're not getting rid of me at this point. I am going with you." And when he does, and he gets to Bethel, the prophets of Bethel tell him, "You know you're going to lose him. He's leaving you very soon. Shh, I don't want to hear it. Do not say a word." Then Elijah says, "Oh, I've got another errand to run. This time I've got to go to Jericho. I've got a man that I've got to see there." And again, Elisha says, "I'm going with you. No way, Jose, am I staying here." And when they get there, the pesky prophets say the same thing again. "You know God is going to take him up today. He's leaving you." And Elisha says, "No, I know, but just shut up. I don't want to talk about it." And finally, Elijah says, "Oh, and I've got to go
brother to Jordan, too. God seems to be leading me on this certain kind of path, and if I'm remembering correctly, it's actually the same path that Moses took. And now he's taking me to the Jordan, and he wants me to cross the Jordan. But really, you just wait here, and I'll come back. Just wait for me. God, as my witness, Elijah says, I will not leave you, and don't try to make me. So, they go to the Jordan, and Elijah holds up his mantle and uses it to strike the water, and sure enough, one side of the river rolls back, and then the other side rolls back. And for the prophets, immediately brought to mind the pictures that they've seen in that scrapbook of Moses doing the same thing when they went through the Red Sea. Together since that barbecue, what would their conversation have been like? Elijah was the first to kind of step into the conversation. You know, we both know that the end is near, and you're going to be left here without me. So, I need to know, what is it that you need from me? He just continues to walk along, kind of shuffling his feet, and his eyes begin to get teary because he's beginning to think about everything that might be and how it will change. And you know, he's not sure that he's up for the task. He, being a critic of the system, is not for the faint of heart. He knows that Elisha has been harassed and chased down. He's gotten nasty emails and death threats and anonymous letters, and he's literally been in fear for his life for months now. And he's leaving? Somehow, he has permission to retire early and pass the mantle along to Elisha. Elisha wonders how he could possibly take all of this on. Walking in silence, Elijah tries again. So, what is it that you need from me? Well, Elijah says, make mine a double. He says, I need a double portion of your spirit. You remember that that's the portion that was given to the firstborn son in the inheritance, a double portion of the inheritance. And he says, give me a double inheritance of your spirit. I'm not sure that I can do it on my own strength, so give me a double. I need double the spirit to be able to live into this calling that you have been doing, especially without you. Elijah says, well, I can't guarantee you that. You will have to have eyes to see like a prophet, and only God can grant you that. But if you see me taken up in that whirlwind, if you see the movement of God, then you'll be given a double portion, and the Spirit will be with you and will empower you to do far more than you could ever imagine. And then at once, the chariots of fire and the horses of fire, they show up between Elijah and Elisha. And then all of a sudden, Elisha sees Elijah being taken up in that whirlwind, ascending all the way into heaven. And then he looks down and sees that the wind of the Spirit blew off Elijah's mantle. And he picked it up from the ground and tried it on for size and ready to embrace the difficult task that was set before him. He then took it off and struck the water as Elijah had done. And sure enough, the water was able. able to walk back through to all those prophets who were waiting on the other side. And when they saw him from a distance, they shouted, "The spirit of Elijah rests on Elisha. He must have gotten his double." So there it is. He got a double portion of his spirit. And then he had to live into that call. And poke his nose into the business of the kings of Israel. A likely no-win situation, but you know, the mantle fit. And so he had to wear it. You know, that reminds me of another thing. We're not just a prophet of God, but the Son of God. Gathered with the disciples and had an intimate conversation with his closest friends. He had been their mentor for 3 years, and they had been his mentees. They had traveled with him. They had journeyed with him night and day. They had learned from him and listened to him. And then that night they sat around at a table celebrating the Passover, and he told them he would be leaving them soon. He would no longer be with them. Deep in their hearts, they knew that the end was coming and it wasn't going to be easy. They wanted to huddle together and just hide. They didn't want to inherit the task that was set before them. They had been harassed and chased out of town. They knew the road ahead of them would be dangerous because following Jesus can be quite costly. But whether they wanted the mantle or not, he told them, "You choose me, and I chose you. And I appointed you to go and bear fruit. Fruit that will last, so that the Father will give you whatever you Not me," they thought. "Not us. We didn't ask for this. We don't want this, and we can't do this." It was as if he was reading their minds. He said, "But you won't do it alone. You'll have a double portion of my spirit. I will ask the Father, and he will give you an advocate to be with you forever, the Spirit of Truth. And empowered by that Spirit, you will not only do the works that I do, but you will do the works greater than these." So, church, what if we pray for a double portion of God's Spirit? What would we do with it? What would God call us to put our nose into? What audacious task would God set before us? What lasting fruit could
about your work in the world, to fulfill your purposes for your glory and for your kingdom that is coming on earth as it is. All this we pray by the power of that same Spirit. Let me invite those who are serving this morning to come at this time and prepare to offer the gifts of God to the congregation. Here in Trinity and in the United Methodist Church, the table of communion is always an open table. It is a place where everyone finds gracious welcome. And so whether you're here for the first time today or you're here all the time, you are welcome to come and participate in this time of the service where we receive, as a sign of God's grace, ordinary gifts of bread and juice. You'll come to the pair of servers that's closest to your section, receive a piece of bread, and then take the bread and dip it in the cup. Then after you've received, if you'd like, you can simply return to your seats, or you're welcome to come and spend time in prayer up at the altar rails. Everything is ready.
From wherever you've been, come brokenhearted, let rescue begin. Come find your mercy, sinner, come near. Earth has no sorrow that heaven can't heal. Earth has no sorrow that heaven can't heal. Lay down your burden, lay down your shame. All who are broken, lift up your face. Oh, wanderer, come home, you're not too far. Lay down your hurt, lay down your heart, come as you are. There's hope for the hopeless and all those who stray. Come sit at the table, come taste the grace. There's rest for the weary, rest that endures. Earth has no sorrow that heaven can't cure. Lay down your burden, lay down your shame. All who are broken, your face. Oh, wanderer, come home. You're not too far. that heaven can't heal. Earth has no sorrow that heaven can't heal. So lay down your burden, lay down your shame. All who are broken, lift up your face.
Merciful God, we give you thanks for this table from which we receive nourishment for our souls. May, in coming today, may each of us have asked in our hearts for a double portion, that you might strengthen us to go out into the world, to love and to serve as you have shown through your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen. Let's stand and sing our last song together, Grace Greater. Marvelous grace of our loving Lord, grace that exceeds our sin and guilt. Yonder on Calvary's mount outpoured, there where the blood
double portion and mustering the courage to do what it is.